Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Eric.
Eric, welcome back for another week, another day, another whatever.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome back, Eric. This is Eric Nash from the Watchmen Minute, and he's back for Minute 52. It's on a Tuesday. We're excited to talk about it. We're now on a train. We're not in a safe house.
No, and Marcellus Wallace shows up all of a sudden.
Oh, we got so many people in this new... Oh, it's almost exhilarating.
It's like a whole different movie
to talk about.
It's a whole different movie.
So excited. So this minute begins with Jean Reno giving side eye and ends with Jean Reno again, this time telling us his insane plan to rob Fort Knox with a helicopter.
He is insane.
This is the Jean Reno minute.
Exactly.
For those of you that don't know, let me do a real quick recap and then my guest and my co-host can chime in. We talk about Jean Reno. Jean Reno, he plays Franz Krieger in this movie. I learned this today when I did my notes. His real name is Juan Moreno y Herrera Jimenez, and he's from Casablanca, Morocco. He's Spanish.
Jean Reno?
Jean Reno is Spanish.
You mean him or the character? I'm confused.
Jean Reno, the human, not the character, is Spanish.
Oh, that's interesting.
Jean Reno changed his name from the Spanish version of Juan to Jean, and he took Moreno and made it into Reno.
Oh, smart.
He moved his family did move to France. It's not like he's insane and just changed his name and became French. He's not insane. He, at a young age, he and his family moved to France.
Oh, gotcha.
And when he started acting, he had the accent already. And
because it just sounded like he was going to be like Highlander or something like that, you know, Juan Villalobos Ramirez, you know?
Yeah, he's got a great, yeah.
It's a great name. Yeah, I'm surprised he changed it.
Also, a little background on him. He's an actor. He worked in a lot of French films, most famously for Luc Besson in La Femme Nikita, and then later in Leon the Professional, which that's where he blew up.
Yeah, this is a year after that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or when it was shot a year after that movie came out. And the same thing with Ving Rhames. This is shot a year after Pulp Fiction.
This is after they both were... This probably their... I have a feeling they were lucky they got them for the paycheck they got them for.
Yes,
this movie.
I agree.
I bet they'd already worked that out beforehand.
Yeah.
And these two guys were blowing up when they were in this movie. Yep. Here's a fun fact about Jean Reno. In the French version of The Lion King, he plays Mufasa.
Really? That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. In the Disney movie, when they do
the French
dub for another country, he is Mufasa.
Yeah, he wasn't a star in America yet then.
Yeah, they'll have famous people from other countries do that. I knew that, but I was like, you know what? Having listened to him in this minute, he could totally do Mufasa.
Yeah.
Like that low, he's a really low, baritone. It's a beautiful voice. He was also in The Da Vinci Code and, unfortunately, two Pink Panther movies when they rebooted those.
And he was in that American Godzilla also.
Oh, yeah. He was in that American. I love it. It's called The American Godzilla.
The non-Godzilla Godzilla.
Not the one that just came out like 3 years ago. The one that came out in 1996 and had Matthew Broderick in it.
Yeah, the awful one. The Zilla one.
Was that 96 already?
98.
That was 98. Yeah, with Matthew Broderick. Man, that's bad.
As my son is a big Godzilla fan, it's not called Godzilla to him. It's called Zilla. So that way it doesn't tarnish the Godzilla name.
Well, that's good. Your kid's smart.
Oh, yeah. He loves Godzilla, man.
Hey, don't take God out of the Zilla. He's the reason for the monster. Is that something?
It's a Texan's appropriation of Godzilla.
It's really weird, though, that he was in the Pink Panther movie and he was not Inspector Clouseau.
Exactly. I would think he would be the better Inspector Clouseau than Steve Martin.
They had noted Frenchman Steve Martin as Inspector Clouseau. Well, those movies didn't do well. You know what? Those movies would have done gangbusters if Jean Reno was Clouseau. He's fantastic.
Yeah, or if Ving Rhames was Clouseau, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, play against type.
Yeah,
that would also have been good. We also meet, for the first time, Luther, who's played by Ving Rhames. Ving Rhames also has a super cool name. His full name is Irving for Ving. Ramses Rhames. I'm sorry, but Ramses is an amazing middle name. It's an amazing first name, but to actually have that in your name is awesome.
Yeah, but if he'd gone by Irving Ramses, he would have been like a porn star or something. Or a football player.
I tried to name my second kid Rex, and my wife wouldn't let that fly. I love those type of like monarch names. He plays Luther Stickle and is, other than Ethan Hunt, the only other character of being all the movies, because we can't even count the voice. You know, the hello, Ethan. Mm-hmm. No,
that's a different voice, a different person in every movie, too.
Even if it's been the same person, I think the past couple of movies, Kittredge is doing it in this movie. Someone else is doing it in the second movie.
Anthony Hopkins is the second one.
Yeah, so it's I like now that it's gone back to being a faceless person, because I enjoy that part of, I don't like knowing who the voice is telling the missions. I've always been Eric. Did you watch the TV show at all?
I have a vague recollection of the old show, and just especially like the intro. The intro to all the old shows, I know those the best, more so than so much of what really happens in the various shows.
Yeah, that music is amazing. I'm not going to read off all of Ving Rhames' IMDb. It's a ton of movies. The first time I remember him was from 1993's Dave with Kevin Kline. Oh,
yeah. I know that.
He played a Secret Service agent, and that's where I was like, this guy's really good. And then the next year, he was in Pulp Fiction and just blew up. And everybody's like, whoa, this guy has range. He's not just a giant dude. He's like funny and witty and kind of cool. So, yeah, he's awesome. So, we're introduced to two new characters. We've got two new characters. We've got Luther, and we've got Krieger. So, they're going to be the two added to the IMF force here for this disavowed job. They are sitting in a train. This train, they're in a compartment that is quite possibly the largest compartment I've ever seen in a train.
It's like bigger than our college dorm, man.
It is. It's huge. These guys are sitting 6 feet apart with a giant table in between them that has, it's full of fruit and water, and it's crazy.
That is bigger than my dorm at Bose. I mean, that's definitely bigger than that dorm room.
Shout out to Bose Hall.
Bose
Hall.
All
those people that went to Southern Methodist University in 1990 something. But yeah, this is definitely not a sleeping car. This is like a business class car.
Yeah.
This is where you sit for business. I looked it up. It's the Euro Rail. Have you guys ever been on any of the Euro Rails?
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever really been on a real normal train that isn't a metro of some sort
actual
normal city metro within a city metro.
I once took Amtrak to New York City from like the sticks, so that was crazy. Like I got on in like a small town, but I got off in Grand Central Station in New York, and that was, I still remember it to this day as a kid, just being like, whoa, where am I? It's like walking out into another world. But yeah, this is a high-speed Euro Rail. That what I was going to talk about in the last episode, but I decided to wait until now, is that the book tells us where they're going. They were in Prague. He met the team in Brussels, and they are now on the train to London. So it's a little more information from the book. I don't know that it's good planning to go to London. If I was the CIA, I'd be looking for them in London.
Yeah.
If I was going to try and get away from them, I would maybe go to Brussels, then fly out of Brussels. I don't know if Brussels has direct flights to New York or Virginia, but I assume it does. Ethan explains the plan to him. He says that Exfil will take care of things, and then Cyber Ops will clean up. And Exfil, I had to go look up because I didn't know what that meant. Exfil is a military term for extraction. It's from the word exfiltration. So Krieger is an Exfil because he's there for extraction. And also we learned that Krieger can also get things. Mm-hmm. So he is procurement, exfiltration, flying, because obviously he brought up he can fly a helicopter. He says he finds this plan so crazy that he says, why don't I just fly to Fort Knox and land a helicopter in it, and we could steal the money from there. And Luther is Cyber Ops. So we now have a hacker and a pilot and a point man and Claire.
And a Claire.
We haven't figured out.
She can drive them
around. Oh, is she the driver?
She's the driver, still? Yeah.
Ugh. Well, I think we'll find out in later minutes what her job is in this. And I think, again, she's going to be underutilized as a field agent. But yeah, this minute's mostly about them sitting and looking at each other.
And Claire telling them that Ethan's always serious.
Yeah,
Ethan is always serious.
You wouldn't like me when I'm serious.
That's the trick. Ethan is he's always serious.
One of the things I think that's super interesting about Ving Rhames being in this movie and all the other movies is that I had to look it up. I didn't know he's uncredited in Ghost Protocol.
Because he's only at the end.
But I didn't know why. I went and read an article and found out he asked for $7.7 million for that cameo.
Wow, Jesus.
And they wouldn't do it, so they wrote him out of the script. And then something must have happened because they got him back for that one shot. Yeah, it was undisclosed what he got.
Yeah, because I think he wanted to be, they had him written into the whole movie.
Yeah, he was going to be another, again, one of the, I don't know how that would have worked with Simon Pegg's character, yeah. But he was going to be in it. And just hearing that, I'm like, oh, so this guy, I mean, he's serious about these movies.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie is the most he does. I take that back. Mission Impossible 2, he does a ton.
Yeah, he does a ton in Mission Impossible 2. And he does a lot in Rogue Nation also, you know, for the most part. Him and they play off that whole Simon Pegg and him being the cyber guys as well in that one. So
you said he had a lot of credits, but you know, I really am not sure what else lately or you know past 15 years even. That's not even that recently.
He does a lot of direct to DVD movies
and RB commercials.
So, yeah, and he gets paid a ton for those movies. So it's not like he's not the caliber. He's not getting $100 million a picture.
No.
But if you're going to, I would hang on to these movies. This movie franchise is a moneymaker for everybody, including Tom Cruise. So I think what's happening, though, is we're getting him flexing his, you know, acting muscles. And his bargaining muscles, and I think that's what happened in Ghost Protocol. We lost him. We lost him. That the things you wouldn't know. I mean, if I read through some of the stuff he's done since these movies, Death Race Inferno, Money Fight, Piranha 3DD. So the early 2010s, not great for him. So anytime they want him on one of these movies, he goes for the money. I mean, he's in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He's Charlie 27. Right. Yeah. He's that giant dude in the background, but anybody could have played that.
Yeah.
He's definitely positioning himself to be in more of these movies. And now that the Mission Impossible movies are trying to take, it seems like they're trying to use the formula that Fast and Furious came up with, which was keep the team together so you actually create some sort of bond. The next movie is going to be better. I mean, this movie, we get most of the same people back, plus the actual femme fatale from the last movie, and we never get that back. Ethan's wife is the only person that's ever showed up again in another movie.
And she's in this new one, too.
Yeah.
She's in the new one as well.
She may be part of the team at this point.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. They'll be fighting Superman in it, is what I hear.
I was curious if there's actually anything in Langley other than the CIA, and I did come up with, there's a Langley High School. Even, you know, it's not just the CIA.
Yeah, I assume it was like a functional city and not.
Well, the way
I'm sure they have.
I think the
fall festivals and a chamber of commerce and a whole thing.
I think the reasoning I kind of asked that question was, you know, because it's referred to as Langley. It's just understood that that's where the CIA is. That's what's there.
Well, we also say Washington, and we assume the White House when we say Washington, even though there's lots of other. But yeah, Langley's one of those places. I've never been to Langley. I don't know anyone that's ever been to Langley. Uh-huh. So it's not I don't know what the tourism is like, but you know, we'll have to do some research and maybe figure out what are the best places to go. Where do you eat in Langley? Like, what's the best place to eat in Langley? Is it a Chili's? Are there no franchises and it's just a bunch of mom and pop type of shops? Catering to the CIA?
It's all CIA run.
Oh, you think
everything's CIA. It's a CIA Walmart and a CIA, you know, Applebee's.
I mean, there has to be some level, Eric, you're talking about this, but there has to be some level of watchman-ness on this. There has to be some level because you can't just have the CIA be in this town and everyone would be gunning for these agents at all times. So there has to be some sort of security. I bet the crime rate is really low in Langley, Virginia. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look it up. Mm-hmm. crime rate in Langley.
You're going to get tagged on online, man. Somebody's going to be coming knocking on your door.
Yeah, well, I'm doing a podcast on Mission Impossible. They're going to be like, oh, awesome.
Can we be on it?
Here's Agent Fred Johnson. Or is that his real name? Oh, man. This is not... No, this isn't telling me much.
Yeah.
That's strange. Oh, is it one of the 10 most dangerous cities? Hold on.
Yeah, because everybody's got a gun there.
Yeah, I'm looking. No, it's fine.
It's fine. Okay.
Okay. We can go there, guys.
Okay. We should do a podcast from there.
Oh, yeah. Because it'll sound so different.
Yep. From that, we're standing outside the CIA building right now doing our podcast.
Yep.
Dressed as firemen.
Oh, hello. I'm waving at CIA people right now.
We're dressed as firemen.
This minute's another doozy for you, Eric. So we're going to look for some tech of the app, okay? Mm-hmm. Hold my hand and let's find some. All right, Chris, you get to go first this time.
I'm go with the Euro train.
Just the train. The fur that they're in right now?
Yep, that we pretend that they're inside.
Are you saying this is a set?
You think? It looks like one of those college sets that we used to use in our short films that we'd put up a wall and say, look, we're in a train. That's what it looks like to me.
It does. It looks like we're doing a play about being on a train.
Exactly.
It's like waiting for Godot on a train. That's exactly what it feels like. That's what it feels like. No, there's a Waiting for Godot podcast. Well, that's what we're doing.
They're still talking.
We're pretty much doing that right now.
Well, yeah, exactly.
There is the Movies by Minute, My Dinner with Andre. So
there you go.
There is My Dinner with Andre too. That's crazy, right? I don't know if I could handle that. They have a lot. I'm sure their notes are a lot more extensive. Yeah. Than
I wonder how many inconceivable jokes they make per week.
Well, that'd be me every week.
Inconceivable.
I love Wallace Shawn. He's the best. Inconceivable. Just every week. That's how I'd end each podcast. I'd be like, inconceivable. I'm going to go next because I want to get this sweet tech of the app out of the way. You guys look over past Ethan. There's a little tiny lamp.
Yeah, that's Claire. That's Claire, man. Remember?
Oh, is that Claire or is that a lamp?
Oh, I can't tell the difference.
Okay. Next to Claire is also a tiny lamp.
You sure that's not her arm? I'm so confused.
Okay. Claire's arm is the tech of the app. It's this cute little lamp over in the corner, and I think it's adorable that on a train they would have
a tiny
lamp. I
was going to say,
that
little lamp is pretty funny.
It's useless.
And it's only on one side, but it lights the whole room.
It's very bright. So that's my tech of the app, is this amazing magical lamp over on the right corner of this massive compartment in the train.
It looks like there's a window out there, too, on the side.
Yeah, there is. Is that a window to the outside? I think it's a window to the hallway,
yeah,
right?
But it looks like it's like zooming by when they're standing there.
No, I think it's just a window to the exterior of the bullet train or whatever.
So it means that like they're at the end of the hall is what it looks like, because it's like the hallway.
Doesn't it? It really does look hallway-ish.
Yeah, it is a hallway.
Well, no, you can't do that on a train. You can't be on the end of the train without being literally the butt end of the train. Are they in the caboose? No.
But
trains only are good for one thing, and that is walking all the way through
them. But there's a hall there. I mean, that's the thing. There's not a hall on the other side.
Unfortunately, we may not see any other trains in this movie, so I guess we'll never find out how you move through a train.
Well, I did see that Paddington movie that they're walking on top of the train, so maybe they're doing that in this one.
Oh, you think this is like one of those little boxes? It's just sitting on top of the train like they rented it out. Where the hell are they?
That's the end of the train.
Well, the question is where does that door lead?
Exactly.
Is that another hallway or that same hallway? Or
how
is it,
amazing would it be as if they opened it and it's just the back of the train?
Or is it a closet?
Is it a closet and there's another way in?
Yeah, we have a tiny lamp and a closet. Everything that a business person
needs. And the closet has a lock on it for some reason.
No, that's the door. There's a giant hallway out that door.
It's just a hall and that room.
It's on one side. This is one side of the compartment. It doesn't make any sense because this compartment is 15 feet wide. That means the train is 45 to 50 feet wide. That's the biggest train I've ever heard of.
This is the butt end of the train because they're like on one end of each other's side of the train.
I don't believe it. It's like Snowpiercer. They're at the end. So
they're on the rich side of the train.
It's very nice. Yes. Very, very gray.
And those grapes look yummy. But I wonder if they're plastic.
Eric, what about you?
Well, if I understand it right, you're kind of sticking it to me on this one, though. So, because I either have to go with the doorknob or do I go to, can we go to tech that is not actually seen but talked about?
Yes.
So therefore, the IMF mainframe.
Yes.
There you go. You can. It is. Yeah. It's cheating a little bit because we haven't. You know, we're not really to it. But since they talked about it, my stupid rule allows it to be talked.
Of course, you could also go with the mysterious room that they're in. Is the tech at the app?
Or the doorknob.
It's a mystery
room. Or Jean Reno's helicopter. Yes.
Or Jean Reno's cigarette.
No, anything man-made like that. We can't. It's not tech.
The IMF mainframe is man-made.
Yeah, they grow in nature.
They grow in nature. Yes, I pulled it from the IMF mainframe tree.
Well, the rest of this week, we're going to get to actually see that mainframe. So we know that it's definitely, I have a feeling Tech of the Ep for the rest of the week is going to be run roughshod by that white room that we're about to learn about. Eric picked a good week.
Yeah, I did.
So yeah, that's the minute ends with Jean Reno, with Krieger. I keep wanting to call him Jean Reno because I just want to say the word Jean Reno more. They talk about, and it's mostly Jean Reno not believing the plan and telling Ethan he has a better plan and comes up with a terrible plan of driving into Fort Knox on a helicopter, which of course is being ridiculous, but. I just love Jean Reno's delivery of this entire scene.
I got a feeling Jean Reno can pull a helicopter into almost any space. It's just a strange feeling. Tell me that.
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah.
Now I did look up because he seems to talk about Fort Knox in relation to Langley and the CIA. Like they're close together. The drive in a car is over 10 hours.
Yeah, because it's in Kentucky. Yeah, it's
Kentucky. Now flying on a jet, that's a little less than 2 hours. So I don't know what it would be like.
It's still a long way. It's the European aesthetic that we all have the same thing when we're in Europe. We don't know where things are compared to other things. Everyone thinks, and people from Europe think America is much closer together because that's all they're used to. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had friends before from Europe that have thought, oh, because you live in Tennessee and someone lives in Texas, they're both in the South. Are you close? No.
Well, what part of Texas are they in?
Yeah, right.
What part of Tennessee are they in? Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm trying to explain, these states are massive. You know, the size of your entire country. So
is Texas right
there? Jean Reno may be showing his ignorance about, the character of Krieger is showing his ignorance about this. It's weird though that his name Krieger is Krieger French,
German, isn't it?
I'm sure it's got some Krieger. I mean, it doesn't seem very French.
Well, it could be kind of that whole like Brussels, Belgium, you know, I mean,
yeah, it's high German.
And no, because one of the
soldier,
one of the terrorists in Die Hard with a Vengeance is named Krieger.
He's not a Spanish gentleman pretending to be French.
Nope. Pretending to be German.
He's French now. I assume he has a French citizenship. I assume.
No, I would think so.
He was old enough that he could have easily not have it. Oh, that'd be so crazy if we blew the lid off this. Jean Reno is not really French. No one's ever thought about that.
Been a whole Andy Kaufman-esque kind of hoax on the world.
Ha ha, I pranked you all. You all thought that was French, but I am not. I am from Spain. I don't know what that accent is. I'm trying to do Jean Reno, but it's coming out in a really. I mean, let me talk more like. There we go. That's more like this. It's more like, hello, I'm Jean Reno, famous Spaniard. You may call me Juan. It doesn't work. I wonder if his accent is affected. Like he puts on more French. I mean, obviously, he speaks French.
Yeah, and he was playing an Italian in Lyon, so you know.
No, Lyon is also French.
Yeah, he may sound French, but he's supposed to be Italian, per his backstory.
Oh, that's confusing.
Exactly. Well, you know, Sean Connery was Spaniard, Egyptian Spaniard in Highlander. So come on.
Why are you so hung up on Highlander? You've mentioned Highlander like three times.
I love me some Highlander, episode. Man. No, it was the last two episodes.
All right. Well, I'm not paying attention.
No, you don't have to. There can be only one.
Hey, Eric, you available for tomorrow to come back and talk about minute 53?
I think I can make my way back.
I've got a sweet train car we can all ride in.
Is it huge?
You know it, buddy.
Is it in the caboose?
My train cars are the hugest. Chris has seen him. He's pretty impressed. Yeah. He's speechless right now.
Pretty much.
Tell him about my train car.
It brings all the boys to the yard.
Tell him about my compartment. It's pretty amazing. If you'd like to bring all the boys to the yard, I'm not using that. You can talk to us and all the other boys in the yard on Facebook at our Minute Impossible Facebook group, the Minute Impossible group, whatever the name of it is. Go to it. If you haven't gone to it by now, I apologize. We're 52 minutes into this thing. Go talk to us. You can talk to Eric. He'll be there. Won't you, Eric?
I'll be there.
He says it like, well, maybe I won't be there.
We'll see.
I've now taped 2 episodes with you guys, and I might not be back tomorrow. You can also find us on Twitter at MinImpossible and on Instagram at MinuteImpossible, where we show lots of behind the scenes. And that reminds me, I need to take a picture of this later for that behind the scenes. So, self-fulfilling prophecy. Tomorrow in Minute 53, I have been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Eric.
This minute will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
I'm just going to reach across here and grab a piece of fruit and then a...
Was it those plastic grapes?
My grapes, they're everywhere.
No.
My precious grapes.
Oh, no, my grapes are gone.
But now we have wine.
But it is wine now.
I have made wine with my grapes and explosions.
There you go. There's your clue, Sal.
Yeah, it's very clue. All right, we are done. Au revoir.